Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
We're following the latest on Israel engaging a response to Iran, which was not the story. Discussing it yesterday on Tony Katz today, it was Israel making a deal with the United States that Rafah was on the list if they wouldn't respond in Iran. We did that story. Hours later, Israel engages multiple strikes. Two strategic areas. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning, Jennifer Griffin, over at Fox News reporting.
The Pentagon is not officially commenting on any of the reports of explosions that have taken place inside Iran as well as in Syria and Iraq tonight. But a well-placed U.S. military source confirms to me that what appears to be Israeli strikes inside Iran have taken place, but I am told that they are, quote, limited in nature. So what we have heard so far from Iranian press is that there were three explosions in the Isfahan area, which, as Trey has explained, that is the location of the Natanz nuclear facility.
Trey being Trey Yinkst, who does the mass amount of reporting from Israel and from the Middle East. The idea that areas that deal with Iran's nuclear capability were targeted would be nothing new. We have seen Israel do this before. We know, of course, about Stuxnet and the virus that was put in to the Iranian systems years ago. We have reporting, I think it was from the Wall Street Journal, that shows that Iran is very close to being able to have the nuclear weapons material to be able to launch an attack on Israel that could have cataclysmic results. I believe that would be the proper word. Notice that she stated that this was what Iran was saying. Well, Iran has gone full Baghdad Bob. Baghdad Bob, of course, is a reference to the invasion of Iraq. And when U.S. forces came in, the spokesperson for, what was his name? Iraqi leader, Saddam Hussein, was saying everything's fine. His name was Mohammed Saeed al-Shaaf. He was the information minister of Iraq, and he was telling the world, what? The Americans aren't here. What are you talking about? Everything's great. What are you talking? I had a cheese sandwich for lunch. What are you talking about? Things are terrific. Yay, Saddam. While U.S. troops were moving in. Now you have Iran downplaying the attack. It was not a big deal, not a big thing. As a matter of fact, there wasn't even an attack. We don't even know what you're talking about. Which is weird because one of the Iranian quote-unquote diplomats landed in New York to be able to go to the UN, which is gross enough, and was saying if Israel does something, oh, they'll regret it. While Israel clearly was in the start of the response to the 350 drones and missiles launched at the entire population. You will note that Israel did not launch bombs and drones at the entire population. It was very targeted to military establishments. So this is all breaking within the last few hours. This is in the overnight. It's all ongoing. We're going to get more information as it becomes available. I will bring it to you. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. There was a headline over at News Nation, which owns The Hill, in case you read these things. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. The phone number, 317-239-9393. The headline reads, student borrowers have delayed life events due to debt. Okay. They had a poll. The Lumina Foundation Gallup 2024 State of Higher Education Study. That's a very big title. 71. The bigger the title, the more important the study. 71% of borrowers said they needed to delay at least one major life event because of their student loans. Wait till you have to delay a life event because of the mortgage. I don't know what to do with this information. Yes, you have debt. That has to get paid, and that might mean you can't afford other things. Honestly, hit me up on X at Tony Katz or Tony at TonyKatz.com. Name for me the thing that you have delayed because the bills came first and your kids came first, and you're like, nope, that vacation, nope, that. Go ahead. Let's create the list. Yes, sometimes things get delayed. Sometimes one must, as an adult, delay gratification. Now, don't get me wrong. I love gratification.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I mean, I am just a huge fan of gratification.
Yes, 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 yes!
But sometimes one has to realize that it isn't about the self. It is about their reality. For parents, it is absolutely about kids. Sometimes for kids, as parents get older, it is about them. Sometimes not. Sometimes it's about a recognition of your own economic status. And sometimes it's the recognition of, no, I chose to do this. And because I chose to do this, it means I can't go right now and do that. Why is this? Maybe it's just a story because they needed to fill some column inches and they put the story in there. According to the report, 30% said they were delayed in buying a home. 28% said they were delayed in buying a car. 22% said they were delayed in moving out. 20% said they needed to put off starting their own business. 15% said they waited to have children. 13% delayed getting married. Hold on just a moment. 30% were delayed in buying a home. Now, home prices are through the roof. Interest rates are back now, according to Lance Lambert, News Lambert on X, former editor of the real estate world of Forbes. We're talking about 7.5% mortgage rates. 7.5% will keep people from buying a house. But the question that we would ask you and me on a bar stool is, well, what kind of house? It's like watching HGTV or whatever these house shows are on Bravo or whatever. Oh, please, don't you judge me. I also watch Below Deck, Guilty Pleasure Television. Thank you. But I don't watch it at home because I don't have cable at home. Only when we're on vacation. When the family is on vacation, we gather. After the day is done and we're relaxing, we gather and we watch Below Deck. It is fantastic and glorious. Neither here nor there. I feel you judging me. You just stop it. You and I, sitting on a bar stool, someone says they are delayed in buying a home. We would ask right there and then, well, what kind of home? All of these home shows, they're always showing these people, well, I need 4 bedrooms and I need 3 baths and I have to have my granite countertops. And, you know, if they're not stainless steel appliances, I can't live there. I need a big backyard for the dog and it has to be fenced in. Well, how much do you have to spend? $82,000. And no one looks at these people and says, yeah, you can't get that. As a matter of fact, you're ridiculous. What the bloody hell are you thinking? Get out of my office. You can't afford what you can't afford at the moment. So if you're delayed in buying a home, it might be a question of what kind of home. It could be that it's smart to delay. It could be that your expectations are out of control. Same thing is true with buying a car. There was a video that had gone around. It was a TikTok video. And it was somebody asking people who work in a car dealership, what kind of car do you have and what's your payment? The payment started at like $600 a month. And you're like, $600 a month? I said that. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Until she started talking to people that had payments of $1,000 a month or more. Now, maybe it was all just made for TikTok and none of it was real. I'm starting to think a lot of that is real. You need a car that has a $1,000 monthly payment? Well, you're just wrong. And you don't know anything about economics. You're ridiculous. Stop it. Time to rethink your expectations. You can't afford a $1,000 car. Oh, I know that YouTuber has a Lamborghini or whatever else, but that's not your reality. So you can just be super jealous your whole life, or you can deal with your reality and recognize that it's okay. So a lot of these things have, I think, corresponding questions to them. But is this an article that's supposed to make me believe now that we really should pay off their student debt so they can buy a house or a car? I'm not opposed to them buying a house or a car. But if we teach them they don't have to pay back their student loan debt, what would make them think they have to pay back their mortgage? You don't engage good lessons by just handing things over freely. Work must be involved for a level of appreciation. And yes, sometimes you sacrifice and sometimes you wait until you can afford to do the thing, whether it's with money or whether it's with time. Like, for example, travel. How many people want to travel here and they want to go there and they want to go to the other place, but they said, I have a family and this comes first. And when that family is well situated, well taken care of, and they're off on their own, I will now have the time to go do these things. I don't look at those people askew. I look at them and say, good on you. Good on you for engaging your responsibilities. Delaying gratification is a sign of adulthood. I didn't say it was fun, but there is a level of reward in it. People don't talk about that. There's a level of satisfaction to it, that I'm working my way towards a thing. I'm working my way through a thing. I can overcome. I can get there. People in social media will show you how the world is handed to them, but they're all lying out there. You know what? Yeah, you have to delay a major event, a major life event because of student loans. Yep, that sounds about right. And it's okay. You'll get through it. Matt Bear has traffic. What's up, Matthew?
Northbound 69. It is a crash before Southport Road. It's blocking the right lane, and traffic is backed up to County Line Road. We have a stall on the south side. It's in the construction zone for I-69. It's on eastbound 465 after Harding in the middle of the interstate, causing stop traffic back to Harding. A crash eastbound as 70 on the south end of downtown into the south split. It is on the exit ramp to southbound 65, and that ramp is open and is partially blocked. Traffic sponsored by B Window for a limited time. With B Window, get 50% off all products and 20 months no interest or payments, plus qualifying completed projects. Earn a $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Details at bwindow.com. I'm Matt Bear with traffic on the fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic. I'm Matt Bear with traffic on the fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
Someone on Facebook Marketplace is selling a vintage Polaroid exposure meter.
What the hell is that?
I'm pretty sure it has something to do with the camera.
Well, okay, yeah.
I guess it has to do with light.
Oh, is that one of the...
Or, you know, with exposure, it can mean anything these days.
It's like the flash bulb that goes on top. You know, you
right.
plug in and you know how many pictures you have left by the flash bulb. Because when they're all burned out, you can't take any more pictures with a Polaroid camera.
Yeah, but the bulb only had like four on it. It would turn.
Well, if you had... bad camera. I had the fancy one with like five or six.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that's special.
Wow. Hold on a second, Matt. Just stay right there. Hey, everybody. Sorry. Matt and I are just discussing how old we are. We'll be back with you in a moment. No, it was the bulb would fit in, and then it would flash, and then it would turn, And so there were only four. You're telling me you had a camera that did more than four?
Well, mine just kind of like ran off the top, you know, it just ran across. My Polaroid camera did not turn. I mean, you'd take the picture and then the crappy picture would come out and you'd wave it in the air and then you'd be able to see.
Oh, you're talking about, God, you know what? You're talking about an actual Polaroid.
Yes.
Right,
yes,
where and then the picture would come out. I was talking about like just the camera you used to have with the flash bulbs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yours is better. Yeah.
So this is from Polaroid, but I don't think this was about a Polaroid because why would you need an exposure meter for a Polaroid?
That's a hell of a good question now that you mention it. I don't know. Maybe it's better than your iPhone camera when you get that meter up.
Not in any way, shape, or form. It's available at Facebook Marketplace. We're going to start going through these things. It's a new segment on the show.
Woohoo!
Fingers Malloy has been trying to get me to do Tradio for a decade now.
Oh, no way.
And honestly, he might be right. We're going to start buying and selling right here on The Morning Show.
At your own risk, that's all.
Clearly at your own risk. We take no responsibility whatsoever.
I'm telling you, I've hosted a Tradio before.
We're going to discuss this. I'm now getting text messages saying, are you seriously going to start doing Tradio? Please don't tease me about doing Tradio. Announcements coming soon. I don't know what to say. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Your kids may have lost their minds this morning as Taylor Swift debuts her latest album, The Tortured Poets Department. And there's a big deal about it being a double album. There are 31 songs on this thing. And people have lost their skulls. Look, you lost your skull about your music. Kids are losing about this music, and someone else is going to lose it about some other music, and that's just the way it is. No need to get all nutty about the thing. But she launched the album, and then you found out it was this double thing, and then if you get the vinyl, it has some bonus tracks, but if you get the download, it comes with everything, and I don't. Good on her, and that's all there is to it. It is kind of nutty, but there is a respectable amount of marketing that she has been able to accomplish, whether it's her ideas or her team ideas. She gets the credit, but what they're able to generate is something fascinating. She is in town in November, those concerts, and that'll be just before the election. Of course, everybody will be watching to see if she gets political. Hey, do what you will. We'll agree. We'll disagree. It'll be fine. There'll be cake. I don't know what to say. I think the question is, does a celebrity have that much sway over your kids? Now I'm getting texts saying kids don't listen to Taylor Swift. It's all millennial women. That's an interesting subject. Like, we may need to sit down and discuss that. Who's really listening? And is that an issue? Because that would certainly sound like an issue. Oh, Lord. We have so much work to... Between that and Tradio, how are we going to get anything done? Oh, I love this show. Tony Katz, 93, WIBC. Good morning. Traffic on the fives. Matt Bear in the WIBC Traffic Center. What do we know?
Looking at northbound 69 in Greenwood, it is a crash before Southport Road. And right now, the right lane is blocked. That's stopping traffic back to Wicker Road and a little bit beyond maybe County Line Road now. And then south side, eastbound 465 after Harding Street. That is a breakdown in the middle of the interstate blocking the center lane. And traffic is jammed up past Harding Street, State Road 37, I-69. And almost to the White River. Not quite there yet. Traffic sponsored by B Window for a limited time with B Window. Get 50% off all products in 20 months. No interest or payments. Plus qualifying completed projects. Earn a $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Details at bwindow.com. I'm Matt Bear with Traffic on the Fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
51 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 6:45. So they now have a jury for the trial of Donald Trump in New York, a trial that should not even be happening. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. good to be with you. And when I say it shouldn't be happening, there's no crime here. Donald Trump paid hush money to Stormy Daniels, and, well, he wrote it from the wrong checking account, and it's a misdemeanor. But Alvin Bragg, the district attorney in Manhattan, decided to make it a felony. And now cable news is following this like it's a royal wedding. And the jury, well, they had first had 7 members on the jury, and then all of a sudden they had 5. Because one person said, I'm not anonymous. People know who I am. I got to go. And looked at the judge and said, yeah, this is going to be a problem. And then somebody else flat out lied to get on the jury. And if you follow the cable news people, they're very concerned that a Trump supporter is going to sneak their way onto the jury to protect him. They don't care if somebody who wants Donald Trump dead is on the jury. They care the other way. It's if you care about the justice system, you want impartial people. That's what you want. And what MSNBC has said is you can't be impartial. Do what we want you to do or else. That's basically their theory. So these 2 people were gone. And then yesterday, they were able to get the other 7. So now they have a jury. But what they do not have as of yet is alternates. They don't have any alternates as of yet. Which, of course, well, the trial's not going to proceed. Because who would believe in Manhattan, a trial of the former president, who would believe that you're not going to need an alternate or 6? You're going to need an alternate. This is going to happen. So they're not done yet, but they did manage to get some people. Congratulations to them. But the coverage of this has been unbelievable. And you'll note that aside from just hitting some basics on the story, I am not getting detailed into it. I must admit that I don't actually care about this trial at all. It means nothing. And it's not going to change the election one bit. Let's say that again. It's not going to change the election one bit. Tony, are you now saying, based on previous conversations, that if there's a conviction, it won't change the electorate? It won't change how people vote? And I say to you, no. Not in its current form. Why do I say this? Because I saw Joe Biden try and buy a milkshake. Maybe you haven't seen this video. You had Trump going to, when he was in New York, he went to a bodega that had been robbed, and the owner of the bodega had defended himself, and then they wanted to charge the owner of the bodega, a convenience store. And Trump was there, being supportive of the bodega. And then, of course, it was days before, he was at the Chick-fil-A in Georgia, and he's buying milkshakes for everybody. And people are taking their picture, and these black women are like, we love you, black community's behind you. And that was devastating to the Biden team. So much so that the Biden team had to roll out the Kennedy family, and he did. He got the Kennedys together, because Lord forbid you actually think that Robert F. Kennedy is legit, and the Kennedys are like, we support Joe Biden.
And on that terrible night, he said, what we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence or lawlessness, but love and wisdom and compassion toward one another and a feeling of justice towards those who still suffer in this country, whether they be black or they be white. Joe Biden's every decision is informed by his love, his wisdom, and his compassion towards those who suffer.
Well, his decisions are terrible. How about that? Joe Biden, I forget where he was. He goes into a Wawa. So he was in Pennsylvania. A Wawa is a convenience store, and an excellent one at that. And he goes to, I think it was order a milkshake, and he basically loses himself. He can't do it. There's a box there. He's trying to figure out how to close the box. The whole thing is super weird. Compared to that, Trump could be convicted 900 times. America has a point of view. And if you give them two garbage choices, right? That's what we're going to be told. Well, then they're going to pick the less garbage. They're going to pick the most competent garbage. They're going to pick the clearly non-demented garbage. So why would this a conviction, if one comes, mean anything? But this is also based on the idea that Biden will still be the nominee. And for the record, I don't believe it. Now, overnight, you had Israel hitting back at Iran. Iran dropping 350 drones and ballistic missiles on Israel. That was a response to Israel targeting military members who were working with Hezbollah and other groups. You took out leaders of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, the Quds Force, as it's called, Quds. You then had Iran respond in a way that they tried to kill every civilian possible. Israel, which just yesterday was discussing they're going to go into Rafah there in Gaza and end Hamas, and they made a deal with the United States not to respond to Iran, they have now engaged an attack on Iran, going after military sites, as has been described, including the possibility of going after their nuclear sites. Now, we still don't have all the information yet. There's a question of where this attack came from, because if the missiles or other things came from inside Israel, did they go across Jordan? And I mean, how else were you going to get there? How was that done? Did Jordan allow it? There's also the possibility that there are other areas from which Israel can attack. And this is a question that many of us want answers to. Iranian officials are saying nothing happened. You have Iranian diplomats who were here who came to the United States in New York for the UN saying if Israel does something, they will feel our retribution. But inside Iran, they're saying, yeah, nothing happened. Very weird how they're playing this. They must have known something was coming, and they took the hit. That's the latest we have. I'll bring you more on it. We're now entering the territory of weird that these Caitlin Clark stories won't die. People are just angry and out of their head and applying a level of madness to this basketball player. Welcome to Indianapolis. I'm sorry there's so much madness. I hope you have a great time. I hope you have a great season, a great career. But unless we get to hang out and smoke a cigar together, like, I'm not spending this much time on it. But I am fascinated a little bit by some reactions. And, of course, one of these things being Indianapolis and what happened with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Now, you'll note I'm not angry with her. This isn't an attack on her. I've never met her. I just want her to enjoy herself and enjoy the career. But I don't know her. I'm not going to get that invested. But why in the world is Antonio Brown referring to Caitlin Clark as cracker of the day? What the hell is this? This is okay language? I'm going to get told that somehow this is just fine? Oh, no, it's cool. It's Antonio Brown. I didn't know. I mean, I knew Antonio Brown was broken. I didn't know he was a low-life piece of crap. This is the way you talk to people? I didn't know he was a bigoted scumbag. Good to know. Yes, he walked off the field, did this former NFL player. I don't think he's still playing. Instead of playing one more down, walked off in the middle of a game. Okay. All right. Bye. Bye, Felicia. See ya. Calling people cracker after engaging in some sexual innuendo? Good Lord. I didn't know he was full-on scumbag. This brings us, of course, to this Greg Doyle story of the Indianapolis Star and how he spoke to Caitlin Clark and the response. And you can check, if you missed yesterday's show, go back and listen to the podcast. And you can find it at WIBC.com, me talking about this. It should be noted, two things should be noted. Here's Greg Doyle, a guy who never found anything where he wasn't high and mighty about, and this is certainly true if you follow his feed and his commentaries, as I have now had to go back and check some of this. He basically was the people would call it creepy towards Caitlin Clark in that initial press conference, and he actually, in a second part of the press conference, he was talking to the Coach Sides, and he was speaking of Caitlin Clark. And he said, you've now got that. What are you going to do with it? He was speaking about Caitlin Clark and referred to her as that and it. It all like piles into this oddness. And he's still taking hits on social media and in regular media and a whole host of places. And I have no interest in a pile on. I'm sharing a story here. I have only asked the question when he says, you know, he's apologizing to Caitlin Clark and he says, I'm part of the problem. I would like to know what problem he's referring to. I have no idea what he means, but it seems to me that that is a way to not take responsibility for your own actions and say, well, you see, it's a bigger problem that we all deal with. Everybody else there asked a question. No one's talking about him. So clearly it's not everybody else, but it was brought up to me. And I was asked, well, if Tony, if you had done this, what would Greg Doyle, the indie star, be saying about you? And really, it could be applied to me or you or anybody else. He would be relentless in going after you and how terrible you are and how toxic masculinity is evil. And he would be, based on his prior works. I'm not utilizing that as an excuse to be. Because somebody would do something doesn't mean you do it. Because somebody would be a certain way doesn't mean you do it. And the argument is that that's exactly the problem. These people, and it's usually utilized politically, talking about progressives, they do this, they do that, they do the other, and when they're caught, all of a sudden we're supposed to have grace and not do anything. This cannot be the way it is. I get that argument. I absolutely get that argument. I do. I think people would be out of their heads and lying to themselves if they did not recognize how sound that argument is. Allow me to give the best counter that I can. If I'm doing things in a political world, if I'm engaged talking about political people, elected officials, I really do believe there are different rules. I really and truly do. I have been able to talk about this story. A guy who once said, as quoted by my friends who heard it, wanted to punch me in the face, or was at least willing to punch me in the face, because he didn't like the fact that I was at the same concert that he was. I mean, we're not talking about a guy that I have any affinity for at all. He's deep in it, and I would argue there's a chance he loses his job, which I don't think he should, but I think there's a chance he's going to lose his job over this. I would argue he could lose it over a million other things other than this. But I don't know what I'm going to get from a pylon, because now it's petty. If Caitlin Clark was offended by his statement, she can ask for an apology. But everybody else, we can notice it, but then we move on. The pylon doesn't help me. I've asked the question, what is the problem that he speaks about in his article, which you don't have to read, when he says, I'm part of the problem? What problem are you referring to? Because it sounds like you're not willing to take personal responsibility, and I think that's wrong. After that, I've got nothing else to say. Nothing else to say. But it is true that if I had said this, what he said, or you, Greg Doyle would be relentless. I'm very happy to be different. Can we just take this in for a minute? Oh, night fever. That's good. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. There is the grift, and then there is the grift, and then there is the mayor of Washington, D.C. Holy moly. This is joyous. When I say joyous, I mean people really, they really do think they can get away with anything when they're in an elected position. The mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, she went to the Masters. We're talking about the golf tournament, Augusta, Georgia. And it was taxpayer funded. The people of D.C. paid for her to go to the Masters. You've never gone to the Masters. You dream of going to the Masters. She got the taxpayers to pay for it. And then when it was realized that she was going, it was determined that it was really, it wasn't a vacation that she was taking on the taxpayer dime. No. It was a sports and economic development trip. She was going down there to learn how to bring golf tournaments to D.C. These people are brazen. Brazen. They'll do anything. They'll say anything. They are completely unworried about what you think about it. You've got no say. You've got no power. This two-tiered nonsense thing, it gets to people. It gets to people. And then there is a reaction. Just saying what is. This brings us to the popcorn moment. Let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe, then grab your popcorn because there is more. The White House, here's the headline. White House will, quote, make sure gas prices remain affordable, unquote, heading into the summer. So this is one of the national economic advisors that was being asked about gas prices. Whether the administration would once again tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which was a terrible idea then and it's a terrible idea now. Gas futures are up 29%. Gas averages right now across the country $3.67 a gallon. Now, oil prices, in terms of the barrel, West Texas Intermediate is $81.97. Let's call it $82. And Brent crude is at $86. So these are down a little bit. Of course, you have the Israeli attack on Iran in response for the Iranian attack on Israel. Iran attacked indiscriminately, trying to kill civilians. Israel, as we know, the first bit of reporting, went after specific military sites. They're different nations with different points of views and different values. So suck on that, protesters. Oh, I'm sorry. Pro-Hamas zealot freaks. That was much better. That was more to the point, I believe. So Iran's downplaying the whole thing, and oil prices are resting easy right now because of it. Oil per barrel going down is a good thing. But in the 80s, is still pretty dang high. Then we haven't built a new refinery in America in forever. You have this issue. But the White House is willing to manipulate the market to keep gas prices artificially low or lower. You mean before an election? This is what they're admitting. This is the conversation about, look at how they act right in front of us so brazenly. And they expect us not to notice. And many people don't. Many people don't. And then there are the people who don't want to notice. Dear Lord, what in the world has Joe Biden said now? Every day, it's something new. And today is no different.
Harris Biden administration.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go. You know the thing.
Say what?
He's there with the Kennedy family. That's right, the Kennedy family, they don't care about Robert Kennedy. No, they're going to back Biden because they're going to keep becoming ambassadors to things. Remember when the Kennedys mattered? Oh, yeah. Oh, Camelot. Good times. Good times. From bootlegging to the White House. It's the American dream, I tell you. And then it was from bootlegging to the White House to the bottom of a lake. How the mighty have fallen. But they really are worried about Robert Kennedy running for president. And so he's trotting out the whole Kennedy family. And he's there getting the endorsement of this Kennedy and that Kennedy and another Kennedy that you don't know anything about. And then Joe Biden gives the line of lines.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes. I'm sorry. I may have missed that, Mr. President. Could you say that again?
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes. Am I ready to choose?
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes. Am I ready to choose freedom over democracy? I don't even know what that means. What? But this is Joe Biden. This is every day with Joe Biden. People are voting for this? Never mind the politics. You're voting for this? Well, Tony, abortion's the most important thing ever. You're voting for this? Oh, well. You probably think that Ted Kennedy was a great guy. Jeepers. Throughout the day, more will come out about this Israeli strike on Iran. U.S. officials saying that we were not surprised by the attack, which is strange, because just yesterday was the discussion that a deal was struck that, hey, you can take Rafah there in the Gaza Strip as long as you don't respond to Iran's attack on Israel, 350 missiles and drones. Now, it's funny, on Tony Katz today, we said yesterday, by the way, I'm Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Got producer Carl behind the board, Matt Baer in the WIBC Traffic Center, Ryan Hedrick and Kurt Darling in the WIBC Newsroom. I said that Israel's probably going to be like, sure, yeah, we'll take that deal. I mean, we're going to take Rafah anyway. We're going to end Hamas once and for all, and we'll get to Iran when we want to. What's the U.S. going to do? Well, isn't that what everybody says about Biden now? And isn't this what has some people angry? What is the U.S. going to do? Israel's going to defend itself, and Iran's going to keep trying to destroy Israel. Someone has to win and someone has to lose. That's all there is. And certainly we've seen on the campuses of Columbia and other places that they've made their choice. I mean, they're now outwardly chanting, "We are Hamas, we support Hamas." And this isn't isolated. This is the thought process. You've got members of the Indianapolis City County Council who want to tell you that Israel is guilty of genocide. They've made their choice. And now it's up to us to ask, what choice do we make? Because as we have been saying from the beginning, and now you're hearing a lot of people discuss this, you think those protests that you saw there in Columbia where Ilhan Omar's own daughter got arrested. She goes to Barnard. She's there at Columbia protesting against evil Israel. But it's not about Israel. She wants to burn down the system. It's the country she hates. All of these people, if Israel was out of the way, they would turn their attention to America. That's the goal. That's the target. That is the entirety of the target. I'm going to have some more on this to get to in the next hour. But I must, once again, and I've said this before, Ilhan Omar should be the great American story. Somali refugee gets to America, becomes a member of Congress, has a family, daughter, goes to Columbia, goes to Barnard, I should say. That should be the American dream. It should be a story we put up on high. And what does Ilhan Omar do? Hates Jews, clearly wants to see the country burn, and has a daughter who, in her own bio on social media, has a hammer and sickle. You want to talk about perversion? The country that took you in, said, here's your opportunities, and look what they've done with their opportunities. And they hate the place? We can agree that that's crazy. That's crazy. And if you ever wanted proof that the objective is not Israel, but is this way of life, this us, this ability to engage, this pluralism, this concept of liberty, look no further than Ilhan Omar and her daughter. Not because I'm a bigot. Oh, shut it with that. Look at what they say and look at what they do. Look at the squad and what they say and what they do. Look at these campuses and what they say and what they do. And then, let's remember there's more of us than there are of them, please. And pushing back, well, that is the correct thing to do. Tony Katz. No.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we, baby? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
Is it smart or is it sexist? It's a new game. You might be able to apply it to anything. I'll let you decide. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. It was a story over at Business Insider, and I don't look to Business Insider for much of anything. Here's the headline. I'm a single mom. I date, but I don't date single dads. Oh. Oh. Okay. Is it smart? Or is it sexist? So she tells the story that she judges single dads, and that there's just no way that this is good marriage material. And how could somebody be a good father and also be in a relationship? So my question is it smart or is it sexist? This goes along the lines of, you know, do you marry for love or money? It is true. And there are plenty of people doing videos out there and conversations about, you know, knowing your worth and how you hold yourself and what men are really looking for and all these kinds of things. But I thought this was... I thought this was interesting that she's out there saying, I just won't do this. I don't know. I'm not a divorced guy. I've never gone through this. I've also never done online dating. My wife and I have been together for 30 years. I don't, which I think does freak some people out because they're like, that's not possible. Tony, we've met you and we've heard you. There's just no way. I don't think you understand what a catch I am. Right now we have Matt Baer to explain to you what a catch I am. Go ahead, Matt. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. But is this a thing? That if somebody's a single dad, they're damaged and they can't be good for a relationship, so no thank you, step away. If a man said this about a woman, I don't date women who have kids, they'd be vilified, destroyed, wrecked, ruined. How much would I bet that that women read this and said, oh, she's right. She's right. You know, you can't have, you need yourself a man who is clean and no strings, just clean, no luggage, no baggage, no nothing, not even a briefcase, nothing. And he better be rich too. I am curious how people do these things. What levels of judgments do they have, and what levels of practicality are they engaged in? It goes back to this idea of love or money. I married for love. My wife married for love, clearly, because it was a very rough first 20 years. You know, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because crying is inappropriate on radio. There's no crying in radio. It's like baseball. But a lot of people look at it and view it and engage it in this business kind of application. Is that what you're doing after you become a single mom? You get divorced, something happens? And is it not a good calculation to date a guy who also has kids? Well, because your priorities are split. But that's just it. For you, it's okay to have split priorities, not him. That's why I asked the question, smart or sexist? I've got the story over there at TonyKatz.com. And if you are a part of what we're doing over there, you get the daily show sheet. You know what's up. But I think there's something bigger here about how people view relationships in their future. And I want to know if it also applies to how people viewed the getting into previous relationships and whether they went in with eyes wide open or they went in with some kind of no kind of expectations. It was much more important to have the big wedding than it was to focus on the marriage itself. I'm curious. Married too young, married too quick, married too stupid. But you tell me, ladies, you're a single mom. Do you date men who have kids? Or is that a sign and you stay away from that? And aren't you shrinking the pool of potential men? And now somebody's going to say to me, well, what about the women who date women? Look, one thing at a time, all right? I can only handle so much. I'm doing the best I can here. Trump has a jury now. Don't get me wrong, the case is still ridiculous, but they've got 12 after they had to dismiss two yesterday. One because she was outed. They're supposed to be anonymous, but you have so much press coverage, eventually things do leak. And she was like, oh, yeah, they know who I am. Hey, judge, they know who I am. I can't do this anymore. Sorry, gotta go. Bye-bye. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. The podcast is there at WIBC.com. You should check it out for yourself. Just look for a Tony Katz under shows and you'll find everything that's going on. So now they've got... Oh, yeah, so that was one juror, and then the other juror lied to get onto the jury. Lied. That's never... That's never good or smart. That is not good nor smart. And then they got that taken care of, and now they find seven other jurors, but they don't have any alternates yet. And you are going to need some alternates. We can all agree with this. You are going to need some alternates because a lot of people, after a while, are going to be like, yeah, I can't be on this jury. This is all crazy town. I can't be a part of this. This is nutty. Cuckoo nutty. So we're nowhere near done. Nowhere near done with finding this jury. And then we're going to see how insane this trial is. If you want insane, it's over there at Bloomberg.com. U.S. nuclear missile sub delayed up to 16 months. This is the Columbia-class submarines. This is a priority for the U.S. Navy. General Dynamics, the contractor for this submarine class. And they've got issues with the bow. They've got issues with power generators. It cannot be said enough that no military can survive or be strong, I should say, without a Navy. It cannot happen. If you want to be able to engage in strength, a show of strength, a real ability to set your nation amongst to be above in a sea of equals, if you will, you need a Navy. The Spanish teach us this, and the Spanish Armada, the British teach us this. History shows this, and it shows why China is so desperate to build out its Navy. We are under ships in an insane amount, and we are really having a problem with building. This is a money issue. This is a technical know-how issue. This is a willpower issue. This is a we concern ourselves with other things issue. Whatever it is we want to describe it as, the issue must get solved. We don't have the destroyers. We don't have the aircraft carriers. We don't have the subs. And by the way, we're still bigger than everybody else. But that's not the way we should be thinking about our military. It's not about being bigger than everybody else. It's about being where we need to be to handle the threats. Unless, of course, you want Taiwan taken by China and you don't think that that is a threat to our future. If you want China or the Houthi rebels to be able to have control of whether it's the Yellow Sea or the Red Sea. If you don't think that's a threat, take a look at shipping already and what things are costing because of the Houthi rebels out of Yemen, sponsored by Iran, really controlling the seas, the Red Sea, and therefore those shipping channels. This is a real problem. And so we're going to keep bringing it up and keep sharing it because this has to get fixed. And adults in the room have to start making real demands. And a real push to getting this done. And yes, that might mean some social programs have to go. You mean all this money and it's not enough? You got to get the ships. That's just the way it is. And the social programs, well, you're going to have to get private charity for that. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Netflix added 9 million customers in the first quarter of 2024. 9 million! Because they stopped the account sharing. You can no longer just share your Netflix account. People have to pay up. So they paid up. 9 million. That's impressive numbers to get people to pay to have a whole bunch of content they're never going to watch. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Great to be here. Great to be with you. there was a vote in the House of Representatives to condemn Iran's attack on Israel. 350 missiles and drones. And some people wanted to say, well, it was just retaliation for Israel hitting an embassy. Israel never hit an embassy. Israel did kill two members of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, part of their Quds force, who were collaborating with Hezbollah, a terrorist organization, on attacks. That happened. Iran responded by trying to kill every Israeli they could. Oh, but Tony, Israel was so successful in knocking down all their missiles. And that means we should be okay with it. It's no big deal that Iran did this. Their first ever large-scale attack on another nation in an effort to kill civilians. You just sit back, you're like, yeah, it's okay. It's not okay. So there was a vote condemning the attack. 14 people voted against condemnation. The squad. Pramila Jayapal, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, Hank Johnson, the same guy who feared that Guam would capsize, Cori Bush, Barbara Lee, Summer Lee, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, all the regular hateful, awful, really Jew-hating people, and Thomas Massie, Republican from Kentucky. Kills me. It kills me that he does this, but there's a real issue with Thomas Massie, and I don't know what it is, but Thomas Massey's got a problem. He's got an Israel problem. I'm now clear with saying he's got a Jew problem. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry to see it. But there comes a moment where you look at somebody and say, yeah, you're ridiculous. Congressman Massie, you're ridiculous. You don't have to be in favor of providing Israel any funding. You don't think it's wrong? You don't think that a condemnation is acceptable? What, is this a free speech violation? Methink thou doth protest too much. Of course Iran's wrong. All rational people can do this. They can engage this way. Not you? You have some kind of secret knowledge here? They decided to try and kill every civilian they could. You're supposed to stand up and say, yeah, you shouldn't do that. But when it's Israel, somehow, well, you know, maybe if they weren't so uppity. Gross. You want to put yourself in league with Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib, you knock yourself out. But holy damn, are you a disappointment. An outrageous disappointment. Not as disappointing, of course, as those college presidents who have yet to figure out that the reason their students act like lunatics is because they don't tell the student, you know, you're a lunatic, get out of here. The protests taking place at Columbia University. Well, first, they are elucidating. Because it is clear that it's beyond just the ever popular, we don't like Israel. So this is what they're chanting, which is not about, hey, we need to put an end to this conflict. This is about, we're really cool with dead Jews and Israel gone and America being next. We're fine with it. We're good with it. As a matter of fact, we're excited about it. And college presidents don't know how to say, yeah, this isn't how we act. And you're not worthy of having a degree from our university. That's the part that boggles the mind. You see this at Columbia. Why in the world would anybody from Columbia want these people to have a degree from their university? It's one thing to disagree with a policy. I've got policies I disagree with. It's another thing to say a nation shouldn't exist. You want that person having a degree from your university? I think that's weird. Well, Tony, you're trying to silence these people. I am told that Twitter, back in the day, was allowed to silence anybody they wanted to if they thought it was engaging in harmful speech. It's their platform. They can do what they want. It's their university. They can do what they want. The question is, why do you want these people? This is the question for Pam Whitten over at IU. Why the hell would you want these people in your university? You think that these students are actually being taught well? You've got an administration that is totally fine with bigotry. You've got speeches canceled at Hillel, Jewish Center, credible threats of violence. You really want people who are engaged in that on your college campus, on your campus, teaching at your university? You realize that tenure is a serious problem at that moment. Why would you want them? Why would you want those students? Those students are terrible. They don't have a different opinion than I do. They would be in favor of violence to stop somebody from speaking. That's nuts. I don't want that person at my university. Disagree with me. Hold a protest. Go right ahead. Call for somebody's death. Chase after Riley Gaines and try to hurt her. Force Ben Shapiro to have security. Prevent Jordan Peterson from speaking. I don't want those people having a degree with my name on it. They're not worth it. They're not good enough. And I have yet to figure out why it is that these universities allow it, unless, of course, this is what they want. That, of course, is the answer. I hear you loud and clear. This is what they think is good and decent. By the way, we should note at this thing right here that I was playing.
They love being clear.
We don't want
the lines.
The guy shooting the video has somebody in front of him trying to block him from shooting the video. And that guy, tall black man in this case, is wearing a mask. And then you realize everybody else who is protesting is wearing a mask. They're outdoors in April of 2024 and they're wearing masks. So you know that they're not okay in the head. I mean, you're wearing a mask outdoors in 2024. I don't know what to tell you. But they had erected this whole tent city at Columbia University. The president of the university, after being just ripped apart by this congressional committee, called in the police to have it removed. Oh, over 100 people got arrested. They had to be dragged away. What, you don't know how to be proactive to stop these things before they start? How to talk to these students before it starts and be more selective in getting the students? Only because of the congressional hearing, the eyes were on you and you decided you had to act? Send your kid to Columbia. Holy cow. Oh, and this will lead us into the conversation of anybody, you could argue Jewish, but I think it's a larger thing than that, who is not armed and trained is out of their minds. Out of their minds. But I'll discuss that in depth at noon.
South, it is northbound S-75 just south of County Road 600 South. Traffic sponsored by B-Window for a limited time. With B-Window, get 50% off all products and 20 months no interest or payments, plus qualifying completed projects earning $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Details at bwindow.com. I'm Matt Bear with traffic on the fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
We've got 49 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 8:36.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures down 35. NASDAQ futures down 26. Could be an interesting day from the markets, depending on how they look at Israel hitting Iran in these limited strikes, as it's being described, at these military facilities, including the possibility of a nuclear facility. You had Jennifer Griffin over there at Fox News discussing this last night.
The Pentagon is not officially commenting on any of the reports of explosions that have taken place inside Iran as well as in Syria and Iraq tonight. But a well-placed U.S. military source confirms to me that what appears to be Israeli strikes inside Iran have taken place, but I am told that they are, quote, limited in nature. So what we have heard so far from Iranian press is that there were three explosions in the Isfahan area, which, as Trey has explained, that is the location of the Natanz nuclear facility.
Trey being Trey Yingst over there at Fox News, who reports from the area and does some very, very good work in getting the stories back. There's a real conversation of, will there be more from Israel? Was this it? Iran is acting like nothing happened. And they're now saying that, look, we're not the problem. We're not trying to cause a problem.
Our objective was to warn, as to send a clear message to be received by the government of Israel and to let it know that we do have the means to respond. I will repeat again. We never seek the expansion of chaos and warfare and tensions in the region.
That's their foreign minister through an interpreter who lies like a mofo, I believe is the expression. I believe that's what the kids say. That's how the kids would put that right there. So all of this can have an effect on the markets, all of it. And there is a list of recalls. Holy cow. There's the basil at Trader Joe's. That's a big one right now. Salmonella concerns. So in a dozen different states, Indiana being one of them, sold between February 1st and April 6th, Infinite Herbs, their brand of organic basil, 2.5 ounce clamshell style container, has caused 12 illnesses, one hospitalization. So if you've got that, you want to be keeping an eye out for it. You want to check your refrigerator. But there have been a ton of recalls lately, an absolute ton of them. And one wonders whether that it's like, are we getting worse at, you know, making sure that food is safe and other things are safe? I don't have a good answer for that. I mean, Trader Joe's had their cashews recalled as well. Again, salmonella issues. I think being able to catch the issues is extremely important. Certainly, you want to have less issues, but being able to catch them is important. I have no idea if there are issues and things don't get reported, et cetera. But we've noticed that we've talked about recalls a little bit more over the past couple of years. I try and bring these stories to you when I find them because, well, it can keep you from getting sick and keep you from worse. So I want to make sure I share it. But this basil one is a big one. If you get your basil from Trader Joe's, throw away the basil. It's probably the thing to do with the basil is probably to toss said basil. You can get other basil. Better not make you sick kind of basil. Tony Katz, that's me, by the way, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Traffic on the fives. Matt Bear, what's happening?
We are stopped, leaving the north split on northbound 65. It's because of a crash. It's right there at Central Avenue or where Meridian Penn used to be. The left lane is blocked, jamming up traffic into the north split and jamming us on westbound 70 after rural into the north split. Rubbernecking coming southbound 65, so we're stop and go. West Street to Meridian Penn and northbound 65, 70 all gobbed up for Michigan Street into the north split because of the mentioned crash. Traffic sponsored by B Window for a limited time with B Window. Get 50% off all products in 20 months, no interest or payments. Plus, qualifying completed projects earn a $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Details at bwindow.com. I'm Matt Bear with Traffic on the Fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
Wait, why is Sullivan Hardware and Garden giving me a $500 gift card?
I don't know. Qualifying completed projects earn a $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. This is with B Window.
What makes a qualified project?
Tony, I'm reading the damn ad. I don't know, buddy.
I think Pat Sullivan needs to call in and explain himself.
Okay, that would be great. For a limited time with B-Window, get 50% off all products in 20
months. Oh, with B-Window.
Yes, that's what I said.
With B-Window. So it's B-Window working with Sullivan Hardware. Now I got it.
No interest or payments.
Ah, now I understand.
Details at bwindow.com. It says right here.
You know. This isn't nothing to do with Sullivan Hardware Garden. This is just B-Window being like super generous.
Yeah, the qualifying completed projects on a $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden,
which is a great, great gig. That is a great deal, I should say. Not a gig, it's a great deal. Okay, now I get it. So it's B-Window saying, hey, we really appreciate your business. It's not Pat Sullivan saying, hey, I really appreciate you shopping here.
I mean, it could be there. I'm just saying what's in the ad. That's all.
The point I'm trying to make is that in this conversation, Pat Sullivan of Sullivan Hardware and Garden is the bad guy.
I mean, my head didn't go there, but if you say so, I mean, you know.
Well, I think it's just science at this stage.
He's always been kind to me, Tony.
Right? I mean, he's not as bad as Denny Smith.
No.
That guy is terrible.
Mercy.
But Pat Sullivan, feh.
He's not a mensch.
But B-Window is offering the deal, and you can get some good stuff at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. So you should do that. You should do that, and that way Matt stays in business.
Woo!
What's more important than that?
No, I've got to get paid, man, you know.
And then download the Supporting Sobriety podcast. It's a difficult name, but it's a much more difficult subject. And Matt Baer and Ryan Hedrick handle it very well. Supporting Sobriety, the podcast is there. Get it wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll hear Matt Baer and you hear Ryan Hedrick. You'll hear the stories. You'll hear where you might have some things in common. Supporting Sobriety, get the podcast right now. Download it wherever you get your podcast, the Supporting Sobriety podcast. Right now, we've got 49 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 8:48. I'm sorry. Is this Chickens doing In the Mood by Benny Goodman?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Two things to note. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. In junior high school, I played a baritone saxophone to this song and have not thought about it since. Robert Slonim, music director, very nice man, and we did this song. I remember that extremely well. Number two, it's clear that producer Carl has lost his mind. I don't know why anybody picks that song. I have no idea. I have no idea what's happening
it's
there.
It's Friday. Good mood.
So Chickens doing Benny Goodman.
Absolutely.
Okay. In the mood is good. Now, if you can get a little Irving Berlin done by Chickens, have you ever heard Rhapsody in Blue?
Yes, sir.
Ah,
you so want it most done by people, Chickens?
If you can find Rhapsody in Blue done by Chickens, I said Irving Berlin. It's George Gershwin. I apologize. Rhapsody in Blue is Gershwin. It's so fantastic. With a clarinet. Come on, it's like quasi-klezmer at that moment. So people know this as the theme for United Airlines, like back in the day. But Rhapsody in Blue is beautiful. Find that with Chickens.
Thank you.
It's so good. It's so good. That's actually kind of like a film version of it. It's worth the listen. It'll put you in a good mood. Like that classical will always do it to you. Classical, that's what makes it so great, is it's this. I think it really does do a better job of touching the soul. Right? That it reaches in a very, very different way. You know, it's like Wagner and Ride of the Valkyries?
Flight of the Valkyries.
Right, is it Flight of the Valkyries or Ride of the Valkyries?
Flight, I believe.
It's Flight?
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right too. I mean, how are you not ready to take battle after that? How are you not ready to just like make things happen after that? And just I think it moves. And then of course, you know, you've got Amadeus, which is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. I mean, that's just special stuff. It'll start any second. Yeah, come on. Let's go. Let's get this thing going. Let's get this. All right, here it is. Here it's coming. All right, it's getting started. Right? Like that. That's music. Hold on, wait. That's Falco. It still counts. Everybody's dancing. It's pretty good. Matt Fair has traffic. What's up, Matt?
All right, we are looking at northbound 65 coming out of the north split, and the left lane is blocked at Meridian Penn. That is jamming us up back to westbound 72 Rural Street. There's also a secondary crash in this delay. It's westbound 70 before the north is splitted. It's in the median. So two crashes if you're making your way downtown here this morning. Northbound 65, 70 jammed up from Michigan Street because of that crash. Traffic sponsored by B Window for a limited time. With B Window, get 50% off all products in 20 months, no interest or payments. Plus, qualifying completed projects earn a $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Details at bwindow.com. I'm Matt Bear on the 5 at WIBC Traffic.